Every 5 minutes, someone dies while waiting for a compatible donor heart, liver, or kidney. On a remote island in Lake Superior, a team of geneticists strive to engineer an animal with human-compatible organs, thereby saving millions of lives. But these ancestors are not the docile herd animals they envision. Instead, the project spawns something big, something evil, something hungry. Ancestor by number one New York Times bestselling novelist Scott Sigler is available for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, and welcome to the Drabblecast, episode 456. The Drabblecast is an audio fiction podcast that brings strange stories by strange authors to strange listeners, such as yourself. I'm your host, Norm Sherman. Man, well, as you can tell from our episode cover art this week, produced by none other than Drabblecast art director Bo Kier himself, it's Shark Week here on the Drabblecast. Shark Week in Lovecraft Month, which is now in another month. It's a lot of things, yes, but of those things and more that it is, the thing that it is most by far more than most of the other many things that it is badass. We bring you In My Brain, In My Body by Evie Mae Barber. Evie's an educator and writer of interactive fiction, novels, and short stories. She can be found at North Sky Studios on Twitter. And so, without further ado, we bring you In My Brain, In My Body by Evie Mae Barber. In My Brain, In My Body by Evie Mae Barber. The great white looked like he was having a good time, swimming upside down, bone-white belly above water, teeth gnashing playfully, like a puppy dreams of finally catching a squirrel. Just off the verdant coast, boaters came to see him play. Some reached out as he swam by, trying to stroke his luminous stomach, but he was out of reach. Get them out. I warned them to be careful. Something wasn't quite right. The shark was clearly distressed. Nothing too strange. I'd seen this before, but I'd come out with my crew just to see if it might be research worthy. Even a byline on a derelict local news site would be nice at this point. Hell, a quote would do fine. I can't get them out. Another boat rolled up. One of the boaters said it was tonic immobility, playing dead. It might think we're predators. We may want to back off. Might be some kind of cardiac thing, another boater offered. None of these suggestions seemed quite right to me, and thank God. There was no research left to be done on such mundane topics. They're inside. Let's try to help him, someone else said. We piloted our modest boat over to the shark. It swam the backstrokes through the water in lulling, curved lines. Even as a biologist, knowing full well something was wrong, a part of me wanted to join with the gentle beast. The water would be cold, but my wetsuit would help. I could swim in opposing symmetrical patterns. In my brain, in my body, I hit the lever, lowering the fishing net. We needed a closer look. The electric pulley system would be too slow to catch him. It'd have to be done by hand. We waited for him to swim over to the net, but his movement, while slow, was unpredictable. A toddler's looping scribbles. I can't. He swam closer to the net, drifting left, then right, then... Pull! I shouted to my shipmates. We reeled in as hard as we could, snatching the beast, a young one I could tell now as we had him close. He didn't thrash, just remained calm, belly up on the net. Less of fin, bite your tooth of long through my skin. Bring him in, I said quietly, not wanting to disturb him. Easy, easy. We laid him down on the deck. A stench of rotten death permeated the brisk ocean air. Nothing looked amiss. We had to turn him over. But I hesitated. I touched his belly, rubbery and wet, but felt nothing. I took a breath and regretted it for the smell. An irrational fear swelled up in me, twisting my guts. "Turn him over," I said to my crew. They did so, oblivious to my fear, flipping him onto its side at first. What in the name of God is that? Something protruded from its skull, something white and porous. "All the way," I said. My excitement began to outweigh my fear. All manner of parasites and other strange creatures lay hidden beneath our oceans. This one was new, and I saw my full name printed beneath 1,000 possible article titles. With a wet thud, the crew turned him the rest of the way. "My God," I whispered. A long, thick tentacle had burst through the shark's brain. What I thought were black holes covering the tentacle's surface were actually spots, slightly inset. The triphobic circles made my skin shiver and my breath catch. I reeled back, away from the still-living shark. "What in the hell is it?" my shipmate asked. Slowly, I stepped back towards it. "I don't know," I said, and kneeled back down, controlling my breath. I looked at the tentacle, staring at one of the black indents. My shipmates, the boat, the shark, even the ocean faded away for just a moment. I ran a finger along the tentacle, feeling its black concavities. "What are you?" I don't know if I asked it out loud. One of the larger indents moved with a squishy sucking sound. It turned like a sphere, and I found myself staring into an eye. A great white's, where it shouldn't be. Not black and lifeless like Captain Quint would tell you, but complex, blue, alive, and focused. Focused on me. The wet, squishing sound amplified. Every concavity began revolving. Soon, 100 little shark eyes were staring at me. People were shouting all around, their voices indistinct. I only heard one, something boring into my skull. "Take them. End this." I had to say something back. I had to. I opened my mouth. Hands were grabbing me, pulling me from behind by both arms, but I fought them off. The tentacle lurched, sprang up like a striking snake, and lunged into my mouth. "Thank the depths, they are yours. They are yours. Thank you." I leapt into the water, scratching that itch to swim, and headed deep into the ocean's dark. "They are mine now. They are mine. Thank the depths, the murkiness subsides." Parasites indeed. Man, so Lovecraft's big thing is cosmic horror, right? Truths so big and vast that there's not enough room in our heads for them, so we go insane, and they explode. Mind control parasitism really picks up where that horror leaves off, doesn't it? What if the horror were on scale with the cosmic, but the truth microscopic in stature? What if insanity were replaced with perfect order and control, and losing your mind doesn't mean your mind is lost? It just means something else has it. I don't know, might be worse. Alright, so hey, some fun little teaser news here before we close out. A little bit why we've been delayed. Some cool new stuff coming up to tell you about. Well, not really tell you about, but tell you that we're going to be telling you about it. But for now, let's just say that the badass cover art for episode this week of In My Brain and My Body by Beau Kyer, well, that's not the only cover it's going to land on. We got some cool stuff in the works. But stay tuned, coming up next, we have Nick Mamatis' story, When the Sun Hits, awesome Lovecraft space opera. You're going to love it. But for now, folks, that's our show. Our program this week was brought to you by Beau Kyer, Tom Baker, Jason Smith, Jen Fisher, Cameron Howard, A Chalupa Cabra, Maria Dong, Jason Cavella, and yours truly, Norm Sherman, reminding you, it might be some kind of cardio thing.
The waitress turns chairs upside down. Piano player picks up his tip jar and drink, and the bartender shouts, "Last round." An hour ago, this place was loaded. A noise filled the room like the smoke.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.